Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, I hope that wherever you are as you listen to this broadcast, you are safe and that you are rejoicing in our God. In Psalm 46, we read, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I am delighted to have on the line with me, speaking by phone, my son Clayton. He is now my boss, the CEO of Ware's Valley Ranch, but he's still my dear son and one of six sons that I have, and I'm very thankful for his service to the body of Christ. And right now, I'm speaking to him as he's down with his family in Florida. That's not where he lives, but he's down there with not just his family, but his in-laws and their families. And we are very thankful that we can be having this conversation after the disasters that have hit that state and much of the rest of our country. Mercifully, the second hurricane was not as disastrous as anticipated. But Clayton, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, tell me, you were not in the path of anticipated destruction when Milton came through, but still, all of Florida was an area of concern because of the Category 5 status of that hurricane as it was moving toward the coast, right?
That's right. There was a lot of debate about what path finally Milton would take. My favorite meteorologist is a man who's a scientist, a climate scientist, who's in his 90s, named Roy Spencer. And Roy said, this will not hit as a Category 5. It won't hit close to a Category 5. And Roy was correct. So I do think it's an advantage if you are in your 90s and have followed hurricanes for a while. You certainly have an experience advantage. But he explained scientifically why the wind shear was going to impact it in the ways that it would and what would happen. One thing that is very, very clear is that our media cannot be trusted in any way, and there is not accountability in our media for getting things wrong. There's not accountability, sadly, in our government for getting things wrong, which is another level of brokenness. But what we have today is a media designed to ensure that your cortisol levels are as high as possible and you are glued to the television at all times to get the updates. And so, of course, you know, hyperbolic language has been used in many areas, but Milton was supposed to be the strongest storm ever, the superstorm. They'd have to change the way they count storms after this, and on and on and on. And thank God it landed. Now, it did destruction. It sent tornadoes before it, and there was destruction. But it landed as a Category 3 that was quickly downgraded to a Category 2. And Roy is saying that even the vaunted wind numbers being bandied about today in media are not accurate. And based on his track record, I would trust him more than I would the media. But essentially, I mean, we are in such an age of chaos, but you can almost tell what the wicked are doing by what they are accusing others of doing. Mm-hmm. And so as we live in this age of censorship, because of the fear of misinformation, you can be certain that those who are protesting the loudest are those who want to control information and not be fact-checked as they spread real misinformation.
Yes. Now, again, we're facing, just been through, weather-related storms. The country is in the midst of a, what we could say, a media storm, as folks are getting ready just a few more weeks before a national election that will have huge effect. And I'm not wanting us to campaign for anybody on this broadcast, but I do want people to be pointed to Jesus, who is the only hope. Jesus is the only one who can save. If the economy is tip-top, absolutely perfect, if somehow the national debt goes away and the politicians decide that they shouldn't spend money they don't have, and the medical establishment starts sticking with science, and all these things were to get fixed, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And yep. So the most important thing for us to know is where we're going to spend eternity. And if you are absolutely in Christ, then even if the mountains fall into the sea and the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. When you know the Lord, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. But the Christian doesn't have to be afraid. Clayton, when you talk with people, and I know a lot of people reach out to you like they do with me, when you talk with people, how do you refocus them on the promises of God?
Well, I think one of the things that has happened with the information age is that people are deeply focused on things that they cannot have any impact on. Mm-hmm. And want to spend a lot of time and concern and energy and really in a sinful way worry about things that they can't and won't have impact on. And then to their detriment, they're ignoring the things that they can have impact on.
Yes.
Some of you have seen already, and if you haven't, I urge you to at least tune into some of the good news out there, that in the horrific, devastating, poorly covered, I would say in some ways covered up, horrifying destruction in Western North Carolina with Helene, that the church, God's church, God's people have consistently shown up and served in remarkable and beautiful ways, not waiting for the government to give them a plan, mm-hmm. but instead taking their orders from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And showing up to help and to serve and to share. And that has been a beautiful thing to see. If you live in Washington State, I am not going to tell you how to direct your money, other than where's Valley Ranch, of course. but if you live in Washington State, there is not much that you can do in person to help with Helene. But boy, there are people all around you who are hurting, mm-hmm. who don't know Jesus, who need somebody to take an interest in their lives, who need somebody to show up and help maybe with school tutoring, who need somebody to show up and to point them to biblical truth. And so for all of us, as we think about what we're promised by God, the most important thing we need to be thinking about is how we are being called to walk in obedience. And walking in obedience to Christ begins in most of these areas and in most of these ways with tremendous gratitude. One of my favorite stories from these storms is captured with this beautiful picture of this man, this heartbreaking picture of this man who is nearing the end of his life physically, standing in his overalls, looking at the family farm that existed before he was born many decades ago. And it is all underwater, and his possessions have been swept away. And as that man surveyed all of that, the reporter was struck by the fact that what he wanted to talk about was to ask them if they had a church that they went to. Mm. And this man in Irwin, Tennessee said, our church wasn't destroyed in this flood, and I'd love to have y'all come with me on Sunday to church. He said, this Saturday I'm working on my farm. Sunday I'll be in church, and I'd love to have you with me. And he said, none of this stuff was going to last forever anyway.
Amen.
But you do.
Amen.
That's the kind of perspective that we need to remind each other of and that we need to share with all those who are around us.
Yes.
Our country, no matter who is in charge, is going to have significant problems with debt. Our country, no matter who is in charge, is going to have to grapple with a world at war with wicked, horrible people who are very powerful and who want to destroy all that is good. But we have a Savior who conquered death, who gave his life for us, and starting with our gratitude each day for the gift of salvation, we can offer love and grace and mercy to those we encounter. And we can offer forgiveness to our enemies, and we can offer care for all those God brings into our path who we're able to impact. And that doesn't have to be direct care. For some people, they're thinking, well, I'm listening to the radio, but I'm not able to lift anymore. I'm not able. Your prayers matter. They matter to the Lord, and they matter to others. But your encouragement. On this trip, I've been spending a good bit of time with the youngest kids, more than I usually do, which I say, to my shame, I guess, I avoid the youngest kids and think their moms can continue to care for them much better than I do. But I've done a little Devo this week with them, and our focus has been that the tongue holds the power of life and death.
Amen.
And boy, I'll tell you that 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds who are whining and crying and complaining make a very different trip than those same 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds who are expressing gratitude, who are encouraging others, who are sharing, and who are seeking to live lives that honor Christ. And if that's true for them, it's also true for all of us, and we are able to change the world around us through the power of not only our actions, but also the incredible power that the Bible speaks about extensively. The power of our words.
Amen. You know, in the midst of this, I've heard from folks all over, whether it's my friends in Western North Carolina, where I grew up, the folks who are familiar with the history of the ranch and know that the way God put this burden on my heart to start Ware's Valley Ranch was when I was a teenager, and I was doing volunteer work in Swannanoa, North Carolina, at the State Reform School there. Now Swannanoa has been, to a great extent, wiped off the map. And lots of the deaths in the Asheville area were in Swannanoa. And Black Mountain, devastated. That was 2 miles from our home in Montreat. Montreat, devastated. Absolutely difficult things facing that community going forward. But as I've talked with my friends, their focus has been, because they know the Lord, their focus has been on the good things that are happening and the ways that God is opening doors for them to minister to people. And not just befriending them, but helping in practical ways. One of my precious friends who is battling Parkinson's himself was out hiking to neighbors' homes in order to bring them fresh water. He would fill up milk jugs with water and take it to the homes of people who he knew were more elderly than he is and not as able to get out and about as he is. And his focus was not, you know, when is somebody going to do something for me? His focus, as you described, Clayton, was on being the body of Christ, reaching out to those who are in need. When I hear those stories, and I know that God is at work in every difficult situation, it is a great comfort, it is a great encouragement, and I think we need to be careful what we focus on. Because, as you said, the media just wants to raise our cortisol levels and keep us glued to the tube. And that is not where we can help. There are people, wherever you are, there are people that you can reach out to, not just to help you, but to look for ways to help them. I remember when my mom, your grandmother, was in her 90s, and discouraged that she couldn't really do a lot for other people. What she did for many of us and for folks in other parts of the world was to pray. She'd always been a prayer warrior, but she became an even greater prayer warrior, an intercessor, holding up those who were serving the Lord in other places. And I just want to encourage you, our listeners, to consider how God might use you where you are to make a difference in the life of someone else. And certainly that can include financial support. But do not neglect to pray. The appeal that the Apostle Paul makes is pray for us. Pray for us. And we would ask that of you today as you're listening. Pray for Ware's Valley Ranch. Pray for the other ministries that are serving those in great need. We've had the opportunity to do some practical things, people would say, in order to help some people who've been impacted by the flood, by the landslides. But I'll tell you this, the most important thing that any of us can do is to obey the Lord and reach out in love to those who are in need. Clayton, you've seen in your lifetime a lot of politics up close and personal, whether it's local politics, state politics, or national politics. In the midst of it, you have kept your focus and confidence on our King Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we don't care about the platforms of political parties or the policies that certain folks want to put in place. Where would you encourage people to find the truth about what different politicians and parties stand for?
Well, I think that the platform is a good place to start, but it's not always an easy place to find for just starting out. Christians, a very alarming story that I recently saw said that most Christians won't vote in this presidential election. That would be a shame. I'm not sure if that's accurate. It may be another alarmist thing. But I do know that many Christians across the United States won't vote. And that is not the posture of engagement we're to have. Most folks don't connect the Apostle Paul's insistence upon his rights as a Roman citizen in that wicked empire as being a wise engagement by a citizen standing on their rights to petition their government in such a way that God used radically in multiple places through those journeys subsequent his arrest.
Amen.
For the gospel to go forth. And in the same way, that's an easy question, I think, for us to ask, and a clarifying question is, how do we think the gospel will go forth more? Now, are you supporting a theocracy? Well, you know, people define words differently. We live in a sad and pathetic post-truth age where people can take a very well-known term and engage in linguistic theft and try to do all manner of different things with it. What I would say is I am incredibly grateful to live in a republic that is governed supposedly and supposed to be by a constitution largely written by men who saw Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And it is because of that rich and wonderful heritage that we have freedoms that we enjoy that are unlike most of the world through most of time.
Amen.
And so, knowing that, understanding that, and acknowledging that, be engaged and be involved. And if you say, I just don't know a lot about politics, then prayerfully think about this. If you are going into most fields, you don't know as much as the people who you trust and ask for advice. That would be the case in medicine. Most of us don't say, I think I know more than anybody. I know more than my doctor. We instead trust people who we believe have spent the time to learn things we ourselves have not taken the time to learn. That is not out of bounds politically to say, I don't know much about this. If there are people in your life who you view as wise, who you view as having taken the time, ask them. Some of them may bore you by trying to teach you all the reasons that they think all the things. But if you say, hey, I just know I listen to this radio show and I want to vote. Who are you voting for? Who do you think I should vote for? If you find your most godly and wise friends and ask them that question and just follow what they're doing, it will be a whole lot better than if you stay home.
Amen. I would agree with that. Well, I am holding in my hand a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. And it is a tiny, tiny, tiny little pamphlet that's written in fairly large type, and it's still tiny and easily fits in a shirt pocket. If you feel like, oh my goodness, I could never read all that. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. It won't even take long. And furthermore,
don't get the Constitution and Federalist Papers confused.
Yes, amen. Federalist Papers are longer. They were written by one of my relatives. But but if you get down on your knees and say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, and then obey him, you're going to be way ahead. If you ask godly people for their counsel, that's a much smarter move than just deciding I'm going to sit this one out. I would encourage you to check out the platforms, to see what it is that the folks say themselves. And I would submit to you, if you read the Republican platform, you're going to be disappointed. And if you read the Democrat platform, you're likely to be infuriated. And if you're not infuriated, it's either because you don't understand it or because you disagree with me on virtually everything. So just pray hard and do what God tells you. But I don't think he's going to tell you to just go to sleep. Now, don't forget, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He can be trusted. He never fails. I hope that you will be encouraged and that you will trust in him. Clayton, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast.
Thanks for having me. Love you.
Love you. Please give my love to your family.
I will.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.pastorwood.org.